Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yo, Doug.
What up, Doug Benson?
We got Sam Levine today.
Yeah.
I have a long podcast history with Sam. He's a favorite guest on Doug Loves Movies. And I've given him several nicknames that barely make sense.
So, name stuff.
Yeah, so we'll talk about name stuff and about his life and career and genitals. I mean, in general.
Can't wait.
Let's go to work. Sam Levine, hello.
Hello. What's going on, Dougs?
Oh, you know, I was saying in the cold open that I've got, you know, managed to come up with a few nicknames for you over the years. Started with Sam the Ma'am, which makes no sense at all. It's just rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Little Wolverine, because of your, you know,
right,
beautiful
facial hair patterns. Thank you.
It was created purely over my jealousy of your facial hair, and that you could grow a Wolverine-like facial hair quite easily, it seemed. And then that gave way to eventually little Logan, because of course, that's another name for Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Well, he started going by Logan more formally.
Yeah. Yeah. So
can't be upset at any Wolverine nicknames. That's pretty great.
I wear them with a badge of honor.
Right.
You know, I've been walking down the street in weird cities and had people scream at me, "Whoa, Wolverine!" So, it's a good day.
Those jerks. they mean well though, and
they do. I don't mind.
And so do I. I mean, I don't like giving nicknames to people isn't even a thing I do. It's just there's something about introducing you on Doug Loves Movies, like it starts to feel more like, you know, a real competition when you're gonna be there and like a wrestling match or something. And they always have such, you know, that's where you'll find a lot of people with multiple names that they go by,
right?
And they announce them all, you know. So yeah, someday it'll take me like 5 minutes to introduce you.
I look forward to it,
just listing off all the nicknames. But we're here to talk about names in general, but specifically Doug's, and now because you're here today, Sam's.
Oh,
how was it growing up, Sam? Is Sam, what are your feelings about the name Sam?
It's a fine name. It's not, you know, I'm sure you've had plenty of guests on people who have unusual names that can be, you know, tough, but Sam, the only tough part about being named Sam, for me growing up was, in the early 80s when I was born, Sam was not a popular name for boys, but it was an extremely popular name for girls, by Samantha. So I guess so. So all of my elementary school classes, I was the only male Sam, and there were always like 6 Samanthas. And I don't know why, but the Samanthas always, none of them wanted to be called Samantha. they all wanted to be called Sam or Sammy.
Oh boy.
And even when you do call them Samantha, like, I'm going to react to the first part of the name.
Right. So they've already got your attention.
I just always thought I was being called on in school for most of the day.
Sam.
Yes.
Yeah, that's that is a confusing one. And that, and the double M in your particular spelling of Sam doesn't really, it doesn't help when it comes to being, you know, having a name called out.
Right. That definitely did not help. Now, in fairness, Doug, I added the second M. That was not my parents.
Is that a SAG thing?
It was a SAG thing. Well, actually, it didn't start as a SAG thing. So back to grade school, because there were all the Samanthas and Sams early on, up until second grade, I went by Sammy. Just because that was easier for me, I guess.
Yeah.
And so my second grade teacher, at one point, when I was handing in an assignment, she said, "Hey, you know, we've got a lot of other Sammies in the class. Do you ever want to try to just be Sam?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe." She goes, "Well, it's a grown up version of the same name. You're getting pretty old now." I was like, "Okay, sure." So, you know, being all of 8 years old, I just lopped off the Y. And I was like, "Yeah, this will do."
Making some adult decisions at age 8.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And so I handed it into her, and she was like, "Oh no, this isn't how you spell Sam." And I just immediately took an adversarial position. I was like, "Well, isn't it my name? I get to decide how I spell my name. I'm going to be Sam with two M's up yours, teach." And then I stuck with that for like 2 full weeks until I had to bring home something that my mother saw. And then she was like, "What the hell is this 2M deal?" I was like, "Oh, it's because the teacher and I'm Sammy, and she didn't know I was being." She was like, "Okay, yeah, that's not what we're going to do. You can either be Sammy or Samuel or Sam." And so I was just Sam with 1M for the next 7 years or so. But then when I had to actually it wasn't even 7 years when I had to join SAG, they had a Sam Levine spelled the same way. So I couldn't do that. And then my agent, my manager was like, "Oh, just add a middle initial, add a middle name." And I was like, "No, every kid actor in the world in the mid 90s had three names. The entire kid cast of Home Improvement were all three name actors." You know, Haley Joel Osment, 3. And I was like, "My middle name is Franklin. Nobody, Sam Franklin Levine. No one can see that on a marquee. It doesn't fit." So I said, "You know what? Fuck it. I'm going back to the double M, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. I actually really enjoyed it, and I liked it, and it separated me when I saw my name written down from all the other Sams. So 2 M's it is from here on out. Thank you. Good night."
I don't know why. It feels more religious to me for some reason. I think, do people jump to that conclusion that that's where it comes from?
I've never heard that as a suggestion, but I like it.
The 2 M's.
This is, I don't know anything about anybody's, book of about faith, Bible or otherwise, but I just feel like, you know, I don't know why I felt like that's why it was a second M was there, or like, you know, or some sort of tradition or something.
I mean, for me, the only thing I could think of as to why I even thought it would be acceptable, and this wasn't even a thing when I was in second grade because the show wasn't on the air yet, but the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had a producer named Sam Art Williams, and his Sam was 2 M's. And so once I saw it on TV, as like a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, I was like, "Oh, that shit flies."
Yeah.
I wish I had known about this earlier. My mom made me feel like a jerk.
Yeah, I remember at an early age, G.I. Joe was like my thing. And there was a producer or writer named Doug Booth. And I was just like, "Oh yeah, Doug's a cool name because of one G.I. Joe producer." That stuff hits you at that age. You're very excited.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that Willem Dafoe also just decided to spell it that, like that was his decision to change it to Willem?
Whoa, no.
I did not know that, but I dig it, man.
I found that out and I thought, wow, that doesn't, to me, that doesn't fit what I thought about him, but that also sort of, it does when you go deeper, I guess. But initially it seemed like he wasn't that pretentious. Mm-hmm. But then when you think about it further, you go, oh, but he is willing to, he wants to be not so much pretentious, but like, why be like everybody else if you're, you know, a brilliant character actor who can, you know, change from role to role.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. But then how do we explain Will I Am?
Well, that's just, you know, that's just somebody with a, you know, he probably got hit with a frying pan and got amnesia.
I think he took all the extra letters that Willem Dafoe wasn't using.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories about that, but that's I'm sure there's a podcast about it somewhere.
Roller Williams.
Yeah. Have you known any Dougs besides the two that you're speaking to now?
I have known quite a few Dougs over my life.
Nobody's ever said that on this show.
Is that real?
Yeah. Why do you think you have like so many more Dougs than everybody else? Usually people can pull out one or two, especially if they go back to school, high school, but you've had them crazy. Your whole life. You've had plenty of Dougs.
Yeah. I think I went to school with three Dougs. But then, after school in, out here in Los Angeles, the hairstylist on Not Another Teen Movie, his name was Doug. Let's see who else, obviously you guys. I feel dreadful now. I'm missing at least, we have a family friend, named Doug.
Whoa.
Lives in Chicago.
It's a fair amount for sure.
Yeah. That's way more Dougs than most people can produce.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people, you know, worked with a Doug at some point. That right. seems.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Doug Robinson, the old Happy Madison producer. I did a pilot with Doug back in 2003. And then I just have in my phone, and I don't know what this means because sometimes I do stuff like this. I just have Doug and then in parentheses, second AD. So that was obviously on some project I worked on.
Oh, okay. Let's guess which project.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I didn't write it down in the notes.
I think it's Sydney White. I bet you really were. You really became friendly with the first AD on that one because you know you had to help wrangle the star of the movie sometimes.
Uh-oh. Yes, let's go with that. Well, I can say this. It was a 424 area code, which is evidently a new LA area code.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's weird.
So that must be the first AD, like on the most recent thing you worked on.
I feel like I would remember that. But you know what I wish? I wish it would at least say when you added a contact, then I could maybe work backwards. But anyway, whoever that Doug is, there you go. There's another one who I knew for a brief period at some point in the last 22 years.
Right. How often do you think you become that friendly with the AD that their number ends up in your phone? Or is it, do you think that you kind of have to put it in by necessity so they can reach you?
I almost always put it in by necessity so that I don't ignore the call if they're calling to tell me about a call time change or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why just the first name, you know, that's all you need to know because you're only going to hear from the AD you're currently working with.
Right, on the project. And then I'll never hear from that person again. And usually I remember to delete it so that I don't fall into this trap, but there you go.
Do they text sometimes?
Most of the time these days.
So when was the last text from AD Doug?
Oh, actually, I didn't even look to see. Let's see if I got one.
See what
I do have some.
Was.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Yeah. Wow, great call, Doug. Here we go. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Okay, so this Doug I knew. I think I've got our answer. This was the Doug second AD on Dr. Face Hands, a.k.a. Do No Harm.
Wow, our first Doug mystery solved.
Yeah. Oh, so this guy, do you think he lives in Philadelphia or at the very least on the East Coast?
Yeah, he probably was working in Philadelphia for sure while we were working on the show, but was probably, you know, based out of LA originally.
All right.
And there you go. Yeah,
we figured whole, that one out.
Yeah,
we really
way
did.
Down that rabbit hole.
Have you ever, Sam, as a professional working actor for many years, have you ever played a character named Doug?
I believe I have, actually.
Ooh, when was that?
I don't know. I have to look it up, but I believe that I have. Because a few years ago, I went back and I like tried to do a compilation of all the characters I'd ever played.
Still standing.
To see if I'd... Is that what it is?
Douglas, 2 episodes. Yeah.
There it is. I knew there was a Doug in there.
Still standing. That's Jamie Gertz and Mark Addy.
Yeah. Jamie Gertz, Mark Addy. And that was a super duper fun show to work on. It shot on the Radford lot. And I got to do 2 episodes of it, which was great. I have only good memories about that show. Like my second episode, we shot it right before the holiday break. And I'd only been on 1 episode before that. But I show up and they were like, they left a Christmas gift for me in my dressing room, like they'd given to all the crew members.
Oh, wow.
And I really did not expect that. I was genuinely floored. And they were like, to our, you know, one of our favorite recurrings. I was like, oh, my God, that's the sweetest thing. Like, it was like a $200 item. I was really blown away. And I'm bummed that that show didn't keep going. I would have gladly done more episodes.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it's... It's not still standing.
No, it is not.
they spent too much money on presents.
That's what did him in.
They should have spent more on charisma. All right. So what do you think of, do you know anyone who knows a second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, personally?
I don't think that I know anyone who knows second gentleman Doug Emhoff.
Wow, you thought long and hard though.
I really wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I like it.
I always want to make sure because, you know, like, I mean, I hate to say this, but like, I'd met the previous president before he was president.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah, you know, it's not that hard a stretch, but I guess that was a different beast.
Yeah,
sure. Sure. But we're just asking everybody. And I was especially excited because, you know, we haven't had this yet. We haven't had, like, so far you've been like a perfect guest. You've been an exemplary guest because, you know, you've known many Dougs. You've portrayed a Doug. And then this is our holy grail right now is we're trying to get any kind of any response, but an appearance would be amazing. But we just want, since there is a Doug who's the, what does that make? He's like fourth in command of the free world, right?
I'm sure that's how it works. Yes. That sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, Pelosi would probably disagree, but I say that he goes fourth after, cause I'd also let Jill Biden probably get in that, get a crack at it too. But anyway,
yeah.
He's close to the, you know what I'm saying? He's like fourth away from the button. So
sure. You know what? At the next Jewish People of America meeting, I'll ask if anyone else has a closer, better connection to him than I do.
Yeah. I just.
Oh, you know, fuck. I talked about the meeting out loud. Oh, my God. Can we delete that? You were never supposed to talk about the meetings.
It can be edited.
Okay, oh, no, that's thanks, all right. Guys.
All you have no, to the next one, we're going to be figuring out how we control the weather. And it's a big, why am I still talking? Jesus. Just delete all that. Thank you.
If you can control the weather, I wish you could make a decent remake of the movie Twister.
Actually, we're going to be remaking the late 90s The Avengers.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Wait, late 90s.
Yeah.
Avengers. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know. Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
And Sean Connery in a teddy bear suit.
Yep.
I think he also wears suspenders and a kilt in another part. Sam, we've got 5 and 5 questions written expressly, specifically for you.
Okay.
To add Double M Levine.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
Wow.
We ran out of time during the 5 and 5 segment on our last show.
Oh, no.
So what happens when we do that is we're trying to lessen our carbon footprint. So when Doug and I write questions down, we write them on paper. And if we don't get to them, we use them in the next episode. We don't want to waste this piece of paper.
It's very earthly of you.
Yeah. Right. And also we went to the trouble of writing them, you know, like the labor, we can't get our time and money back for that. So
no.
What we do is we just make the next guest answer any questions we have left over. Jackie Cation was on the show last week and her answers were, you know, so great and thoughtful that we didn't get to 4 of her questions, 2 from,
oh my God,
From each Doug. So,
okay. Well, I promise not to give thoughtful answers of any kind.
Well, you know, I mean, it never hurts to, you know, people think when a podcast is an hour long, and if there's an episode that's only 35, 40 minutes, that, oh, you know, must not be as good. I say, no, we got our work done quickly and then went home.
Yeah. Don't penalize us for being efficient.
Who stays longer when the work is done? Hey, you know what, boss? I'm done for the day, but I'm gonna hang around for 40 minutes and just chat with you about climate change.
Promote okay, that so, man.
All right, so you know Jackie Cation, right? So you can you can answer as Jackie would answer, or as you would answer, or you could give us examples of both. Whatever you feel like doing. They're your questions now. Doug, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Real hard one. Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
Nay.
Wow, really?
Not a chance. Not a chance. Yeah, I can't do it. And I've tried it.
But you have given it a shot. I think there are.
I've definitely had it more than once.
Okay.
And I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't like it, then why would you have it again? Do you have follow up question? Do you have pineapples in this is the other Doug. Do you have pineapples in other settings?
I do. I like pineapple very much.
Where do you like it? You like a pineapple juice?
Oh, I like it on my yacht. I like it when I'm flying to Hawaii. I like pineapple juice and I like it in like a fruit bowl. I like it.
What about the Dole pineapple whip they have at Disneyland?
I don't think I've had that too often, if ever.
Oh, it's so good. They sell it over
They
sell it at the Tiki Room.
Oh, I'll get it.
Get it. It's so good.
Like there are plenty of foods where I like the food on its own, but then you combine it with another food. Now it kind of ruins both foods.
Right. Cause you can't really, you don't really want hot pineapple or cooked pineapple per se. So now you just got like a cold piece of pineapple sitting there on your hot pizza. So are you against, it's usually, you know, they tend to be, the so-called Hawaiian pizza is usually pineapple and like some sort of ham. How do you feel about some sort of ham on your pizza?
I don't mind ham. I'm a big fan of meats, especially grilled meats or cured meats. Big fan.
Okay, so I get it. You just don't want pineapple on your pizza. I don't want nuts in my cookies. And like you're saying, I like cookies in other places.
Yeah, I'm the same way with cookies and muffins. When they put nuts in there, why?
This is supposed to be soft and chewy and delicious. Don't throw a crunchy, hard, I'll think I broke a tooth. What are you doing?
I just love how polarizing pineapple on pizza can be, because look at how firm you are with the nuts on the muffins. That's great.
I'm just trying to establish that Sam isn't mad that people like pineapple on a pizza, because that's what it comes down to, is people get mad that other people like it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I don't understand.
That's why I asked it. Last week I had pineapple on a pizza and a friend got really upset about it and took it out.
I think that's, can I be honest? I think there's no more American thing in the world than that sort of notion. But hey, this thing that doesn't affect you in any particular capacity, but somebody else likes it. That doesn't bother you, right? Of course it bothers me. But it doesn't affect you in any way. Well, I just don't like it being out there.
Yeah.
But I don't. All right. Welcome. Thanks for coming to Texas, I guess. I don't.
Shout out to all of our friends in Texas. All right.
Here's the shout out to everybody in Austin. What's up?
Yeah. Here's my next question. Would have been my fourth question for Jackie. You were in a short film, Jackie Cation, called How to Bug Betty. Mm-hmm. My question is, how do you bug Betty? Or does the film answer its own question?
I'm so glad you asked me that. I always enjoy talking about this film. Believe it or not, it's a very simple movie. I sit behind Betty in the office and I have a really, really long feather. And I just sort of tickle her right at the top of the neck, right behind the ear. And I could pull it away just fast enough before she can turn around and ask if it's me. And the film is that for about 11 minutes.
Okay, sidebar.
Yep.
Oh, no, go ahead. You have more?
I was just going to say we were nominated for an Academy Award. Didn't win, but it's always an honor to be nominated.
Okay, that's good to hear. Yes.
Yeah.
Sidebar, if you got invited to an Ugly Bug dinner dance, would you go?
Obviously. I mean, I don't ever turn down a dinner dance invitation.
I think it would be difficult to say no to that. You're right. Okay, yeah. I'm satisfied. Belly Mel?
Because Jackie is friends with this person, mm-hmm. wanted to know, would you happen to know three things that might be in Maria Bamford's pockets right now?
Oh, not only does Jackie know this, as I definitely do, she has and always travels with this. This is true. A pocket size Ouija board.
What?
Never leaves home without it. Maria Bamford regularly communicates with the deceased.
Whoa.
A lot of people don't know that about her. So I'm happy to break that news in case anyone didn't know.
A lot of people have gum.
Yeah, some people have gum. Not Maria Bamford. She also carries around a pocket-sized fire extinguisher because you can never be too careful. And third, and it's not that impressive. Just a cell phone.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
You know, in case she needs to reorder a new pocket-sized fire extinguisher or
of course, gear. Yeah,
that's all.
I've actually got a pocket-sized flamethrower, but I don't carry it on me at all times. So
that sounds dangerous. Or at least you should walk closer to Maria Bamford at all times, so that she can take care of any accidents.
Sure. Wow. A Ouija board. How do you operate one that size? That seems a little difficult.
She's got very small pinkies.
Yeah. Don't you have pinkies, Doug?
Yeah. It's so tiny, though.
Yeah, you put your pinkies on there, and then the spirits take it from there.
Spirits, yeah, she's got great eyesight. No glasses.
Because also that's the great thing is that she doesn't even, you know, a lot of people, when they have a adult size Ouija board, they end up communicating with adult size ghosts. But with the tiny Ouija, with the pinky Ouija, you can communicate with like mice and stuff. It's neat.
You get like Casper. He's a kid.
Okay, if you're not going to take this seriously, you're just not stupid.
Oh,
Speaking of stupid ass questions, though, I had a Bamford question for her too. I was gonna come after her with the Bammer. You've played yourself on shows that starred Maria Bamford and Marc Maron. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, Jackie Cation's played herself on those shows.
Yep.
Which one of them was more like themselves on their show? Which one was more lifelike, I'm getting at? If they both had wax figures, right. I would have asked it about that, but they don't.
I want to say Mark, you know, they both have range. They really do. But, you know, Mark just... that was just the nature of the show. Maria actually, you know, people don't talk about her range enough. She is a 78-year-old black man.
Right.
And I mean, what she's been doing on camera, she's a very private person and only, you know, this is just how the persona she wants to put out there in the entertainment world. And I think she's doing a great job. So probably Mark.
Yeah, I'd say I agree, because Mark's, you know, his show is called Maron, which is his name, of course. And her show was called Lady Dynamite,
right?
Which, of course, is not her name. So right there already is a difference. Great job with five and five. Excuse me, with the leftovers, we still have five and five.
Can I just say, I'm very confident Jackie Cation would have given those exact same answers.
I'm sure it's probably verbatim the same. In fact, you know, might be a fun experiment. We'll get together with her sometime and ask her. And then,
we
will superimpose. We'll superimpose the two recordings over each other. And it should sound perfect.
Terrific.
We're going to get to your question, Sam, right after this break. We'll be right back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back. We are here with Sam Levine. But you knew that already, because nobody joins a podcast in progress. unless it's live, of course. A live podcast.
I wonder if I were on a road trip to meet a friend and I had started listening to this podcast, and then my friend gets in the car and then they come in at this point, maybe they did just join this podcast in progress.
There you go. Very true.
Right. Okay.
We're dealing with a very small percentage here, but still, I like people to be seen.
So let's start at the top again.
Okay.
Let's work our way back.
We're back, and we're here with Sam Levine. For those of you, for that one of you who is just joining us, for that person who is with Sam Levine while he listens to himself on this show,
100%.
We are here with Sam Levine, and it's time for five and five, and my man Melly Mel is going to go first.
All right, just had to know. I saw you were in an episode of One Life to Live. What was it like being on set of a soap opera at age 15, I'm guessing?
Thanks so much for asking. That was super fun. That was the first TV show that I ever appeared on. And that was a job that I booked solely because I was the only young person who came in to audition and was not lying about their ability to juggle on their resume.
Oh my God.
That character, the whole crux was, one of the main characters on the show was like opening a school for the performing arts for kids. And so they needed a kid who could juggle on pretty short notice. And I showed up with like maybe two or three other kids at this casting office at like 6 o'clock at night. And just one by one, they kept going into the casting office and all they were being asked to do was juggle and none of them could do it.
Wow.
But I could, so I went in and I juggled for a minute and the lady was like, oh my God, great. Thank you. Go home. We'll be in touch.
You got the
job. Then I left and like an hour later they called. They were like, okay, you got the part. They need you on set tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Actors lie about skills all the time.
All the time. Yeah. But like this one, I guess, was such short notice. They didn't even have time to get in touch with the agents or managers to like ask, like, listen, you're not lying about your client's ability to juggle. Right. And I'm sure all the agents and managers were like, no, if they have it written down there, I'm sure they can do it. They could not.
How shitty those kids must have felt terrible.
I imagine they did.
Did they get the way into the room and then they're like handed three balls and told it, go to town, son.
Yes. Actually, it was even harder than that because this one kid brought three lemons, but he said he lost one of them on the subway.
Oh, my God.
So he only had two lemons and he was the first one to go in there and he went into the room. And he walked in with the two lemons, and then we just heard a giant thud, like a really loud thud from the waiting room. And none of us could figure out what the hell it was until I went in there, and she had borrowed the two lemons that the first kid brought because she didn't have anything for anyone else to juggle. So she borrowed his lemons, and then the third thing that she gave kids to juggle, the closest thing she had was a small round glass paperweight. And I mean, at the time, I wasn't like an expert juggler or anything, but even then, I can tell you, like, it's really hard juggling objects of varying weights.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So there was almost no way anyone was going to do very well at that. Like, I barely made it, but I managed to make it work. But every time someone would go in there, we were just waiting to hear the thud.
You know, it's crazy. In 97, I found a lemon on the subway.
No. Was it the one train?
Yeah, actually it was.
Oh, it was that God. One train I know. That he was on.
I know that lemon's owner. Hang on to it.
All right, Sam. You enjoy an occasional game of chance.
I certainly do.
Who is the worst person you've ever played poker with? It's okay to just use initials.
Oh, wow.
Or I guess it could be a stranger, if you recall a stranger that was the worst person you ever played poker with, because you have played out in the world in casinos and whatnot.
I mean, that's true. And the unfortunately, the real answer is it's going to be someone whose name I don't know, because like I've played in a lot of like charity tournaments over the years, and those mm-hmm. will always attract a lot of people who don't actually know how to play the game. But right. You want a more fun answer than that. So I'll say MP.
Oh,
MP. And I'll even help. It was a gentleman with the initials.
Oh, okay, good. So I can cross out. It's not. It's not Mimi Podgers.
Nope. It's not Mary Lou Penner.
MP. All right. So here's what we'll do. Doug and I will both like think on this, and then we'll both reveal who we think it is. If we say the right name, will you agree, or do you want to just stay on the record as only giving the initials?
I'll possibly agree, but not I can't officially confirm nor deny anything if you guess. I try not to be unnecessarily cruel.
Yeah, I get it. All right. it's just fun trying to think of people that have those initials, but I'm not blurting them out. I'm not blurting them out because I don't want to drag anybody through the mud.
I can tell you it was not the late, great Michael J. Pollard.
Okay, good. I would think that you would say MJP for him. Just MP, I'm thinking their middle initial doesn't matter.
I might have it.
You think you got it?
Do you want me to wait?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see if I come up with the same one. Did you use some sort of celebrity list machine or something?
Yeah. I went to my Ouija board in my pocket.
I'm just going off my head, out of my head, trying to think of MPs, and it's a living MP that would play poker with Sam for some reason, like in a celebrity tournament or at a house game. I don't know who that is, but this is fun. All right, so I'll yield the floor to the next question from Doug.
All right. Of these IMDb credits, mm-hmm. which one did you have the most fun playing? Spanky, Sweaty, Pancake, or Chuggy Simple?
All right, I believe that would be Sydney White, a quickly canceled show called Regular Joe. Pancake is an animated short, and the last one you said was Chuggy Simple. That was an episode of Children's Hospital.
That's right. Yeah.
So of those four, I probably had the most fun. This is going to sound silly. I had the most fun doing Pancake. That's an animated short. I didn't even have to shave. I didn't have to put on makeup. And I got to be the voice of an extremely large cat.
That's always a good time.
It really was a very good afternoon. And that was super fun. That was a Nickelodeon short. And there you go. Now, with all due respect to the other projects.
Right. Well, I guess of the four follow-up question, what's your favorite of those nicknames? Banky Sweaty, Pancake, or Chuggy Simple?
Probably Chuggy Simple.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's I'm almost certain from the brain of David Wayne. that character was supposed to be like a former child star, but he looks like me. And in the script, he's supposed to be like 58 years old. It's like, wait, wasn't he a child star for like 30 years? Yeah, he's got a really bad disease.
That's a brilliant name. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that was never a nickname for either of us. Dougie Chuggy? That never
happened. Oh, God. Yeah. No, thank you.
I want to start calling you, I think I said this on another podcast once, I want to start calling you President Doug Benson, because in the Hot Shots movies, it's President Tug Benson is the Lloyd Bridges character. I mean, first he's a general, I think, in the first movie, but then in the second one, he is the president. And okay. I've forgotten. So, President Doug Benson.
Yeah, those are movies.
Tug Benson. Those are movies.
President and second gentleman. A lot of power with the Dougs these days.
Oh, maybe that's our way into second gentleman.
There we go. Are you still thinking on the name, Doug?
It's Maury Povich.
Oh my God.
God damn it, Doug.
Okay, my second question is, what is the only bird honored with its own year on the Chinese calendar?
I believe that would be the cock.
You have to check with the judges. Doug, would you mind being a judge?
I believe that's correct.
I have rooster.
No.
Oh.
They do call it the year of the cock. I know, because as an 11-year-old, that made me laugh and laugh and laugh.
So yeah, maybe that's just it. Somebody who's, you know, calling a rooster a cock.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn, Doug.
All right. kind of, it's odd that this is coming up now. Of these three different cuisines, Italian, Chinese, Mexican food, if you could only eat one for the rest of your life, what do you choose?
Oh, definitely cock.
I would say Italian cuisine. Yeah. And I mean, I love the other two.
Right.
But if you're forcing me, if there's a gun to my head, and I don't know why you keep putting a gun to my head over things like this, but I would definitely go Italian. I love Italian food.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Italian food?
Mori Povich.
Yeah.
God, that's a tough. What would you do, DB? Chinese, Italian, or Mexican?
What's the scenario?
Oh, just if you could only eat one of those for the rest of your life. You can't have the other.
You're on a desert island and only one, and either Taco Bell, Panda Express, or Olive Garden will cater for the rest of your days there.
That just got so much more drastic.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, I don't know who should be more offended by that lineup in that lineup because because Olive Garden's supposed to be like a real restaurant. It's not supposed to be fast food.
You know what? I'm embarrassed I said that because Olive Garden, they're my second cousin. Because every time I go in there, they say, when you're here, your family. And I don't believe them.
That's why that's the only place Vin Diesel eats at. Because Familia is very important to him. What were we talking about?
If you had to eat one of those.
Oh, right. So, but that's the trouble with Italian is there is no Italian fast food to speak of. You have to leap to Pizza Hut, I guess, or Domino's. But yeah, I probably, there's so many questions you want to ask in these scenarios because, like, you know, how long am I going to live anyway? You know, like, is it going to matter? Like, is eating healthy going to matter? Because I think that would be probably the easiest with the, probably the Mexican or the Chinese. It would probably be healthier than Italian.
I don't know. The Mediterranean diet, you know, people live very long.
Yeah.
But just pure what I like and the varieties that fall under that banner, I guess I would go Chinese.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'd do Mexican. So we ran the gambit.
Wow. Well,
and if for the three of us are there together, we could share.
Yeah, there we go.
Aww.
You know, we have some from all three and everybody would be happy. Okay. We're doing all right on time. I was starting to panic there. What did I write down? Oh, okay. I wrote down I take a little bit of notes here and there so that, you know, I can write about the episode when it gets posted and stuff. And I can't read my own writing, so that becomes an issue sometimes. So if you guys see a post about the show where I say that, like, Sam likes italics in his food, you'll know that he likes Italian food. Of all the things you've done, Sam, which is your favorite? Now, when I say things, this is to cover TV, movies, plays, cults you may have joined, podcasts you may have been a guest on. So Doug Loves Movies is eligible. This show that you're doing right now, Wide World of Doug's, is eligible. Of all the things you've done, if you climbed a mountain, if you subscribed to Paramount Plus, just of all the things you've done.
Yep.
What's your favorite?
Larry David a couple years ago had a show on Broadway called Fish in the Dark. And before he, you know, basically pitched it to Broadway, he wanted to do like an informal table read of it here in Los Angeles. And I'd met Larry a handful of times and he called me and asked me if I would play one of the younger roles in this play and like a totally informal reading. And I said, of course. And that reading was so star-studded Ted Danson, Mary Steenburgen.
No. Initials only, please.
And that's just the surface. Like this.
No. See, I want to hear it. Give me every name.
It's as many as I can remember right now. I have it written down somewhere. But it just went on and on and on.
Right.
And I got to be at that table reading what was a screamingly funny script. And I'm sad because we didn't shoot it. I'm not in the play. He hired a much younger actor, which was appropriate. But that was one of the most fun things I've maybe ever gotten to do as an actor. So there you go. And I don't really ever get the opportunity to talk about it. So thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Wow. If you had swung it as Chuggy Simple, do you think that would have solved the age thing for the character?
It's possible. Let's get Larry to maybe put the show on again.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I'm starting to realize that maybe we run out of time for the 5 and 5 questions because, you know, maybe it's just a character trait of Doug's to ask stupid follow-up questions.
That was a good one. No, that was a good one.
But that Fish in the Dark, that is really, I remember seeing, that was playing on Broadway. And it got pretty good reviews.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get it kind of sudden?
No, it ran. So Larry did the show for a good run. And then I believe Jason Alexander came in to replace him. And then lasted a decent run, too. I think it may have been about a year or so, maybe a year and a half. I could be totally off, but I think it was about that long. It got really great reviews and, you know, like most shows that run that length of time, I'm pretty sure are considered successes. So.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that it wasn't a success as much as it was just something that, I don't get to Broadway often enough to sometimes, something lasting a year or less is not, long enough for me to get around to it. But it did. I do remember it getting good reviews. Did he get nominated for a Tony?
Ooh, I hope so. I don't know. I don't really follow the Tonys.
I feel like he might have gotten snubbed there, though. I feel like that's what my gut is telling me. My gut says that. do you have one more quick question, Doug, or do you? Is it, something you don't want to, force Sam to answer briefly?
I got a quick one, I think.
Okay.
Favorite Indiana Jones film.
Okay. See, there's only four answers.
Oh, yeah. This is an easy one for me. For me, yeah. It's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, of course.
Whoa, wow.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be, I'll explain why. It's not going to be Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's not going to be Temple of Doom. But I saw Last Crusade before I ever saw Raiders because folks took me to see Last Crusade in the theaters in 1989, you see. So that movie made an impact on me. And then only later did I see Raiders. And I was like, well, this is kind of like all the fun of Last Crusade, but Last Crusade just was cooler to me. And it honestly may be my favorite of the three.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay.
It's got Sean Connery.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's just a few years older, but plays his dad.
Yep. Fitting.
Junior. Well, thank you, Sam, for all of your answers. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of your questions, but I'm sure next week's guest will be happy to answer questions about, for instance, your beard and and some other things. Do you have anything you would like to plug before we go, Sam?
As of right now, no, other than, follow me on all the majors of social media. And by that, I mean Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Sam Levine with the 2 M's, of course.
Right.
And, you know,
we established that early on. Some people might have joined us later. So
for those who joined us in progress.
Yeah, if you joined us in progress, it is 2 M's on Sam, at Sam Levine on the socials. What's your favorite social?
I still love Twitter.
Okay.
It's the thinking man social media.
It is. It's the one with all the words where with people type out the words.
I prefer the words.
Yeah, I'm always blown away by the amount of pictures people post on Twitter, and then people who post tweets on Instagram. It's like, guys, it's pretty clearly delineated. It doesn't seem that difficult. Yep. Stay in your lane. So, look for Sam out there, everybody.
Please do. Please come and find me.
Doug, did you want to take a stab at the poker thing? Or was it definitively Maury Povich?
I said that the answer is Maury Povich. I'm not even entertaining that it's anybody else.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know why? It's 'cause we'd get into a big hand, and then every time we'd go to showdown, he would do this super dramatic thing where he'd pull out an envelope and he would go, "I do not have the flush." And then I'd go screaming into the next room.
And a lot of crying.
Yeah, well, it sounds
really
like
the
a
long
terrible,
way around for that bit.
It sounds like a nightmare playing poker with Maury Povich.
I do have a full house.
Yeah. He's always with a big reveal, and like, oh, poker players don't like that. They just want to, if you won the hand, they just want to see it right away. Okay. That was slow rolling. Doug Mellard, what are you plugging these days? You going to do some performances anytime soon?
I don't have dates for the fall, but I definitive dates, no, but I'm going to finally start getting back on stage next month. So just get ready. I'm so excited.
Okay. Yeah, everybody get ready. Get ready for Doug to do 10 minutes somewhere.
Really rusty 10 minutes.
All of my stuff, my dates are starting to pop up, DougLovesMovies.com, and we're doing a live Doug Loves Movies at the Brea Improv in Brea, California on Wednesday, June 9th. And so come on out to that if you can. And as always, Dougs and Geeks.
Got it.